last month or so, and we looked at the Bible when we started off and how important the Bible is, and we looked at God the Father, we looked at God the Son, and then last week we looked at God the Holy Spirit, and I looked at that as from a perspective of understanding the uniqueness of the Christian faith, that we have this concept of a triune God, that it's one God with three separate personalities. It's a relational God, which is one of the reasons he calls us into community. He wanted to expand the circle, and he said, Lord Jesus, as he prayed, he said, God, as you're in me and I'm in you, may we be in them, or we may be in us. That it would be this relational community, that God is expanding the circle. But I wanted to spend another week on the Holy Spirit because I just didn't want to talk about how he completes the Trinity, or this Trinitarian concept of God, but I want to look at the Holy Spirit himself and how important, vitally important it is for us as a church and individuals. And I know there's a lot of things that challenge the church. There's things that we all feel that are vitally important. And certainly, like we said, the Bible's important. That's what's going to keep us from having such a small view of God. I mean, you open this thing up and you see how God used Moses to part the Red Sea. He used Elijah to send fire down from heaven. He used Jesus to heal the sick and raise the dead. Then he does the same thing with the disciples. It keeps us from having such a small view of God. And it is disappointing that there are so many people who call themselves Christians, but as the saying goes, if they were put on trial, there'd be very little evidence to convict them of the crime. And what's even worse is that they don't seem to be concerned about those things. And maybe some other things that may concern us is just the fact that the people do seem to have a small view of God. But I think that one of the biggest concerns facing the church is its apparent lack of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, every time I look at I read the book of Acts, I'm like, man, there's something a lot bigger than what I've experienced in the last half century of being involved in church life. And I'm not going to give up on it. I believe that it's just as much for today as it was when we read about the early church in here. I mean, you look at this thing, and Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, it's supposed to change everything. It's supposed to change everything. It's better than him actually being with the disciples. He said, listen, I need to leave because there's going to be a helper coming, and he implied that that was even going to be better than him being with them. What could be better than the Son of God who's raising the dead being right next to you? And he said, because he's going to come, and he will not just be with you, but he'll be in you. And he says he's going to be involved with this gathering of people. He's going to be the supernatural element in the midst of it. And as a matter of fact, he said, don't even bother doing anything until he shows up. Don't even try it, because you're going to embarrass yourself. Just stay here and wait until he shows up, because it's going to be a disaster otherwise. Just wait here. And so they waited. And it says in Acts chapter 1, if you want to read some of this stuff I'm going to be looking at the Bible will be in the book of Acts. And starting with Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Jesus gathering them together. Isn't that interesting? He's gathering them together. This concept of the context of community, there's something about when we get together in a group that God manifests his presence in the context of community. He didn't say, okay, now I want you all to go off by yourself in some type of solitary mysticism. He said, no. This is a community thing. I want you guys to gather together. And he commanded them that they wouldn't leave Jerusalem. What are they supposed to do? To wait for the Father, what he had promised, which he said, you heard from me. I told you what the Father's promise was. And it was this, that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you remember when we talked about baptism a couple months ago? And we talked about the fact that actually Christianity hijacked the term baptism. Before Christianity, Baptism was a term that you used when a ship was sunk and immersed in the water. If you had a good, I don't know, they didn't have cannons back then, but however they would sink a ship and they'd say, wow, well, that ship was baptized. Instead of capsized, it was baptized. All right? And so really the term means immersion. So what Jesus is saying the Father's promise is that John immersed you in water, but I'm going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. And we find out as you go through the book of Acts, it's not some kind of subconscious experience that happens while you're asleep. I mean, they didn't have to have a Bible class to teach you, you know, now that you accepted the Lord, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. They were. The Holy Spirit came. It says no man knows that Jesus is who he says he is except by the Spirit of God. But what's wild is these people believed and they would ask him this question. Well, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I mean, people today would say, well, that's messed up. That doesn't fit my theology. What do you mean? I'm a believer. Of course I have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And then they would pray for him. And then afterwards, it wasn't like the person was like, oh, okay, so do I have the Holy Spirit now? Yeah, just believe, brother. I mean, it was like, you knew the Holy Spirit came. It wasn't like you even had to have a class. They knew that the Holy Spirit had immersed them and something different had happened. And, of course, we all know as you go into chapter 2, that's exactly what happened. They were waiting, and then all of a sudden there's an audible effect that takes place. And Luke, who wasn't there but interviewed very many people, said that these people said it was like the sound of a hurricane. Some kind of audible, loud, rushing type wind noise. And then they actually had a visual experience where they said there was something like fire that came into the room. And then not only did they hear and see it, they began to experience it. And they began to speak in languages that they didn't even know. And all these people are there for the holiday of Passover. And they're hearing them in languages that there's no way they could have known. I mean, they didn't have the cell phones and the internet and all that stuff, man. You live 400 or 500 miles away. There's no way you're going to know somebody else's language. And they're speaking it. Well, what the heck is going on here? And they are so amazed at this thing. Let me just ask you this. If you went to a service, let's say... Yeah, let's use our church. Let's say you're visiting Point Lookout and you're from Florida. I guess I'll go to this little seaside church, you know. And just something like wild like this takes place. And you have an audible experience, you have a visual experience, and you have an internal experience. I mean, come on, let's face it. I've had some very heavy, I would say, internal experiences. I've never actually seen fire come down. I tell you what, man, if I went to a church and I saw fire come down, I ain't leaving. I just do whatever it does to take to stay at that church. I'll sell my house so I don't have to go back to work. I'm sorry, you guys, find another guy. All right, Joel, you're on. I'm staying here. That's what they did. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I believe that's an element. I believe it was such revival that this was a new epoch in the spirituality of humankind that people said, I'm not leaving. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm here for the holiday, but I'm not going back home, man. God is doing something that's way more important than paying my bill next week. I'll do whatever. Let's sell my house. Let's do whatever I got to do. And that's exactly what they did because it wasn't just a one-time experience either. You know, sometimes you get a nice shot in the arm like, you know, then the service is over, and like an hour later, you're yelling at your spouse or something, you know. This one, I love how the American Standard says it here. It's more literal. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 43, it doesn't just say everyone was feeling a sense of awe. It says everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. I can't leave. When was the last time you felt a sense of awe at a church service? You know, maybe you can come up with one. You might have to, you know, dig a little bit. Think back. couple weeks, couple years. When is it? Now, here's the embarrassing part. If I ask you, when was the last time you got together with a group of believers, and it wasn't a sense of awe, but it was a sense of boredom? That's a quick one, right? They had, and it says they kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Hey, can I use your car, Greg? That's your car. What do you mean, that's my car? Well, we got all things in common, man. That car is your car. You want to use it? Go ahead. It's the Lord's car. I remember one guy got a nice Mercedes-Benz, and he was just saying how the Lord, you know, just provided. So somebody asked him after, sir, hey, could I borrow your Mercedes? I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I thought you said, hey, what do you mean I can't borrow? You know, it's my car, man. I thought you said it was the Lord's car, you know? I mean, these guys really believed that they had all things in common. It says they were together, and they began. They didn't want to have to go home. The revival was so intense that everything paled in comparison. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So there you have it. Okay, they were continuing in one mind in the temple. They went to church, okay? So the old thing, well, I don't really need church, you know? Well, here it is. They were in the temple. I just go to my small group, but they did both. They went to the temple with one mind, and they broke bread from house to house. They were taking their meals. There's something powerful, people, about a corporate celebration for the glory of God when we can all just come together like this. It's powerful when God's in it. We talked about last week, the atheists are copying the church now because there's so little power. They're having services in London. They have music. They have somebody speak. And can't tell a whole lot of difference. Man, you get this group, you ain't going to be able to copy that one. Okay, well, you had some nice music. How about some fire? Yeah, can't do that one, huh? Yeah, all right. Yeah, you little white pastor there. Let's hear you speak in Spanish. I can't do that. You know, well, they did it. Ain't going to be able to copy that one, man. I mean, come on. Let's look at this thing. I mean, the terminology that's used over and over and over again. And then you just keep going in the book of Acts. You finish there, then you get in chapter 3, verse 10. It says, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened because a crippled man was healed right at the church door. Isn't that amazing? He's sitting there at the gate of where people go to worship this almighty, all-powerful God, and they have to let him subside crippled and give him money. And Peter finally says, well, listen, I don't have money, but I got something a lot better. This guy, it says in Acts, was crippled from birth, and he was over 40 years old. It wasn't like, oh, you know, was that set up? Everybody knew the guy. And it says they were all amazed. Then in verse 11, it says, all the people ran together to them at a so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. It just keeps going. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Some translations say they were astonished. Because, see, when Jesus said the Holy Spirit comes, there's two things I'm sending this thing for. Tongues is a byproduct, but that's not the reason I'm sending it. I'm sending it because I want you to have power, man. I want you to have power, and I want you to be able to witness. That's what he wants. And these guys had such power, these uneducated fishermen, that they were astonished, it says. These guys looked like they were at the seminary studying under Gamaliel for the last 10 years. I don't know how to answer them. Then you keep going, prayer meetings, okay? Here's a nice, boring prayer meeting, okay? Verse 31 of chapter 4, and when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. There it is. Sign of the Holy Spirit. They're not timid anymore. They're not having double thoughts about, well, maybe I should say something. Maybe I shouldn't say something. They're just out there, man. They are on fire. Awe, amazement, astonishment. These terms used over and over again. Now let's roll the camera 2,000 years forward, and here we are today with the same label that these people had, Christians, and here we are, and what happens? You know, you walk in, and it's like, oh, how are you? Here's your bulletin. We'll try and get you out of here in an hour. And, you know, maybe we'll sing a few songs, you know, and maybe somebody will sing a solo. Maybe you hear a polished message. Maybe it won't be quite so polished, you know, and then let's go home and eat. I mean, I don't get it. Isn't the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, we're reading right here, isn't it the same Holy Spirit that's supposed to be available to us today? Why is it so different? Someone said the church is no longer super or natural. You know, I mean, how natural is this? You know, do you go home at your family reunions and, okay, I've got the pews set up here, let's all sit down, you know. There's nothing natural. There's nothing super. It's, you know what it is? It's predictable. That's what it is. It's expected. And there's just a truth to that. And I feel bad because, you know, I mean, like I said, I've been in the church culture for over a half century now. I spent over 20 years in the Lutheran church, over 15 years in a Pentecostal church, and now I'm over 17 years in a community church. God gave up trying to figure out where I fit. Just put me in one with a bunch of mutts, spiritual mutts. You know, that's what you guys are, all right? Spiritual mutts, praise God. And so he just sticks me in there. And I tell you what, I've gotten pretty good at being able to predict a church service now. You know, I can kind of tell, you know, like, oh, I got this message together, and I think it's going to be pretty good. You know, I think the people will like this. Although this part, you know, they might not be, I might have a little problem with that. I'll probably get a lot of emails on that. You know, or, you know, and then, but you know what? Doesn't matter, because at that point, I'm going to have Joel come up, man. And we're going to ramp it up with the music. And we're going to, you know, and we're going to let it rip. And then people will start clapping and applauding. And, oh, I forgot. Yeah, she's singing a solo. Oh, all right. Well, maybe it won't be that great. You know, but it's like, it's so predictable. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, we all, is that the way it's supposed to happen? When Jesus says, you're going to have power, a supernatural power, and you're going to receive this supernatural power, it happened. And people noticed. They saw it. Like we just read. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were astonished at their boldness. They were astonished at the courage that these people had to just step out. This power came upon them, and they were powerful beings. They really were. We forget the power that was supposed to be available to us. So many people, what happens is I think, you know, man, it's tough. You know, I was just talking to Jimmy the other day, and, you know, we're doing this small group of walking with God through pain and suffering. It's tough living in a broken world, man. You know, this isn't what God originally created. This is this whole thing is sinned into existence. It's a mess. People are hurting, man. You guys need more than theology. You know, and we get our eyes on our situation and ourselves, and we get them off God, and we start tanking. We don't have any peace. Somebody wrote me a text a little over a week ago. I looked it up on my phone, and I just put it down here in my notes. Here's what it said. So many people are in, and this is somebody from our church talking about our group, okay? So many people are in an almost desperate need of the peace that surpasses understanding. Maybe we should just do a foundational message on peace. Here's the problem, though. You know what? I mean, teaching's good, but it only goes so far, man. You ever been in that place? Arlene, I know you've been in that place. I look out here, like I said, at Pastor Appreciation, man. Every one of you got a story. I see parents who've lost kids. I see people who've gone through wrecked marriages. And the list just goes on and on. And I'm going to come up here and say something that's going to make it all right. Man, let me tell you something. We don't get the Holy Spirit down here. We don't have a shot. Here's what, and I just want to impress you, you know. See? 55-year-old pastor gets his phone out. I got my scriptures on the phone here, you know. I had it on the notepad. It's not all written down. See, I know where it's at, okay? So, anyway, I put this in here a while back. And I said, man, we need to hear this again. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope. That's an interesting title, isn't it? I bet some of you could use that today. Not just hope, but the God of hope. That's something tangible you can live in, you can believe in. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now how's that going to happen? So you will abound in hope by what? Just hang in there. Greg's going to give you a really good sermon. That's it. You're going to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. That's how it happens. All this other stuff. Now listen, again, teaching, it's important. How else are we going to know what to believe, or how are we going to know what to do? You know what I'm saying? So we got to have teaching. And in order to be a church of the living God, we're going to have a teaching in the church. We've got to have it. Absolutely. We cannot be a New Testament church in the strict sense of the term without good Bible exposition. That's absolutely true. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, gang. There's a way that you can do Bible exposition and the people are completely void of any spiritual nourishment. You know, Jim Cimbala, pastor in a big church in Brooklyn, most of you know of him, his Fresh Faith book, he said, you know what? Brooklyn is known in the days past as the borough of churches. These big edifices, man, beautiful buildings built back in the 1800s, in the early 1900s, and they're empty. So my first thought is, well, they're not preaching the Bible. You know, they got some convoluted, you know, way, ways pick on the left-wingers as Christians. So I'll say some crazy way right-wingers that, you know, they just don't get it. And they're not really, they don't adhere to the Bible and the Apostles' Creed and the major doctrines anymore. Cimbala says, well, that's true, but not in every case. He says some of those churches are orthodox and fundamental. They are on target with the Bible, but the church is empty. Why? There's no spirit, people. Listen, mere words cannot nourish the soul. Only God Himself. Gang, let me just tell you, this is the most important thing you'll ever read. But it's not the end. This is a means to a meaningful relationship with God that will nourish your soul. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. I always say, Ku Klux Klan reads this. All right? Do them any good? You read this with the wrong spirit, it's actually dangerous. They talk about religious wars. That's because they're reading this stuff without asking the Holy Spirit to communicate it with them. This is not a natural religion. It's a supernatural religion. And you try to do it through natural means, it's a failure. Your church is empty, and you've got dangerous cults developing. You've got to have the substance with the source. You can't just have one without the other. What is it? If all you have is the word, you dry up. If all you have is a spirit, you blow up. But if you get both, you'll grow up. That's what we're after here. Amen? Listen, the Bible is not an end in itself. Like I said, okay, I already read that. See, this is what happens. You don't look at your notes and then you start rereading something that you already said, okay? Now what we're up to, you guys aren't listening anyway, are you? Are you? Oh, okay, good. Listen, you know what? This is one thing I was thinking about, and I heard somebody else talking about it. I was like, I love that concept. I'm going to use that one. God is so big. He's huge. And I don't want to trivialize this, but by His grace, I'm just going to say that He's bigger than any circumstance or problem you're facing right now. And it's easy for me to say, maybe and maybe not. I got a few things going on myself. He's big. He's stronger. Think of the biggest, strongest thing you can think of on this planet, and it pales in comparison to him. So I thought, well, let's check out one of the strongest things on this planet. So, once again, your modern pastor, 21st century, Googled. All right? The strongest man in the world. He was an American this year, which is kind of cool. You know, I just think it's some crazy Russian guy or something, you know. The guy who won it this year was an American. His name is Brian Shaw. This dude is thick, man. I mean, his biceps are like the size of my chest, you know. And he's got size 16 shoes when he was in high school. His hands are like crazy. He deadlifted 1,000 pounds. Not quite, 985, because Joel's over there. No, he didn't. It was 985. Okay. And then I thought, well, let's check out the strongest woman, you know? So I checked that out. Her name is Kristen Rhodes, okay? She deadlifted almost 500 pounds. Guys, you do not have an argument with this chick, okay? You do not mess with her. Now, here's a wild thing. What if these two, you know, we could... Maybe they go online for a dating service, you know, and they end up going out, they end up getting married, and they have a son, right? How would you like to see their son, right? I mean, it would be kind of weird, you have to admit, if you saw their son, and he's like this scrawny little guy. Hi! You know, I mean, you'd be like, what the heck is going on, you know? You got these huge parents. But I feel like that's what's going on with the church. We got this. We are God's kids, not just their kids. We're God's kids. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner your father has that he's going to call you his kids. And then John just reemphasizes after that, because that's who you are. He know they were going to be like, yeah, right. He says, no, because that's who you are. You're his kids. You're God's kids. And we have this intense, again, almighty, all-powerful God. And what's our response to that? You know, it's like, you know, this huge God, and we're like, oh, hello, welcome to church. We give you a bulletin. We hope we get you out of here in an hour. Hope to see you next week. Really? I mean, really? Is that what he's got in mind here? I mean, I don't know, man. Listen, I'm insecure myself. It's weird being up here, especially when you're a guy that failed kindergarten, you know, and some of you guys are really smart. You know, I was talking to some parents yesterday, and their kid's going into astrophysics. I don't even know what that is, you know, and then they're supposed to sit and listen to me talk. I'm like, okay, you know what? The Holy Spirit don't show up, man. It'd just be a comedy show. You get some good laughs, maybe, but that's it, man. You know, Paul even said that, and Paul was a smart dude, but he felt that his intelligence was actually more detrimental than if he didn't have them. He prayed, he said, God, it's got to be the power of God. Man, if I rely on my wisdom, you know what he said? He goes, man, I don't want it to be the wisdom of man, because then I will empty the power of the cross. Because there's no dependence on where there's supposed to be dependence. It's dependence on somewhere that's 18 inches away from where it should be. And you need this up here to process what's going down here, but it needs to be in that order. God does something here, and then it's like, okay, what was that, you know? He begins to communicate it to you. And listen, man, I'm calling you guys to this thing, and it's a little intimidating, and it's like, how am I going to, you know, you see a bunch of people in the sanctuary, and it's like, well, how am I going to motivate these people? You know, how am I going to, like, you read the book of Acts, man, and this stuff is going down. It's like, well, God, you know, how am I going to make that happen? You know, Peter preaches and 3,000 people get saved, and it's like, wow, you know, it's, how am I going to change the mindset of these people? Everything's against you. The world is more anti-God than it's ever been, and it's more anti the morals that God calls us to than it's ever been. And here I am, and I'm supposed to, like, change the mindset of these kind of people, and that's the whole point, isn't it? It's not me that's got to change you. God says, listen, Greg, you're going to do this on your own. Good luck. It's going to happen. You don't even do anything. Just wait on me first. Be endued with power because I've got to do this through you. I could do it probably even better on my own, but I just thought it would be cool to use people to do it. Anybody willing to be available? He's not looking for intelligence. He's looking for availability. That's what he's looking for. That's the point. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? I'm going to build my church. I don't know how many times I read that, and I went right past that first word. I am. That's who he is, and that's who's going to do it. Greg ain't going to build the church. Community and Point Lookout isn't going to build it. He says, I'm going to do it. I want to tell you something. Nothing's going to be able to come against it. Not even the gates of hell are going to be able to prevail against this thing. He wants to develop like this spiritual family that comes together, and they're this wild, incredible unity, this bonding, this man that he wants to make us tight. You know why? Because the world's going to be like, wow, how did they do that? Because the world, man, you get a group of people in a room, they can't get along. I mean, right, Gary, music industry, four guys in a rock band can't even get along. I mean, and they're making millions of dollars, and they just can't get along, so they break up. You know, I'm not saying Gary, he wasn't a millionaire, but, you know, Beatles, all these guys, they can't even get, four people can't even get along. But Jesus says, you know what, I'm going to take millions of them, and I'm going to pray now that they're going to be one, even as me and the Father are one. That's why I'm having an ecumenical service tomorrow night. Not because, you know, oh, well, that's cute. You know, it's nice to get along with other religions and people. We have an opportunity to be an answer to God's prayer. Tomorrow night, I'll put the plug in now, at 7:30, we're going to not thank goodness for Thanksgiving. We're going to thank God with our Catholic brothers and sisters, and we're going to exalt Christ as the one who's the author of every good gift that comes down from heaven, and we're going to be an answer. Do you want to be an answer to Jesus' prayer? Then I want to see everybody here tomorrow night. I want it to be so jammed that you're going to have to move in so we can make room for them. That's what God wants to do. And do you think Jesus would pray a prayer that can't be answered? It looks like it can't, but that's the whole point. So that we know we didn't bring it about by our own human ingenuity. That people would, we'd begin to get a glimpse that there's this incredible potential within our gathering for something to take place that cannot be duplicated through natural means, that it's unquestionable that something of a supernatural source is in the midst of this group of people. And by God, I got to have it. Because what's out there is killing me, literally. I'm excited now to just turn this service over to the Holy Spirit. And it's not easy for a German pastor, man. You know, I mean, everything's got to be lined up. And then what makes it worse, I got Eric. So it's like Germanism on steroids between the two of us organizing everything. You know, God shipped him off to Germany for a couple weeks. So I'm in, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, man, I think I want to do this. I think I want to reverse the service. I'm like, but I really need to pray. I need to, you know, study and figure out how we're going to do this. And, of course, Monday, spend the whole day in the hospital. All right? Tuesday we'll get, nope, Tuesday, whole day in a hospital with Tina. All right, I know they said we'd probably be done by Tuesday, so I'm going to just, you know, usually I take Wednesday off. I'm going to work my Wednesday, man, because I haven't worked for 2 days. I need to get a hold of God. Nope, got to spend the whole day Wednesday at the hospital. Then I thought, okay, Thursday I have off. Then I got to meet with these crazy elders and talk about finances when I get up at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I felt like I was sitting there when we first would go in, I'd go in the waiting room and hook Tina up to these machines that are amazing, the wisdom that God has given the medical industry. It's just a blessing. It's amazing. And I want to tell you people, you know, some people have warned me to not even say this, and like, because I know there's other people that don't even have health insurance. You know, we just took an offering. You guys, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, pay for my health insurance. I wouldn't have anything if I didn't have that. You know how grateful I am? You know how amazing that is? You know what a sense of community I have? I look at you guys and I'm like, man, if I didn't have you guys throwing some money in the plate, I wouldn't even have a wife probably soon. That's community, man. I just want to say thanks for listening to God. But I'm sitting there in the waiting room. And Tina goes in the other room and I have to sit in the waiting room. And I'm hanging out and I feel like God's saying, you know, you got to stop this German nervousness, man. It's time to stop reading about the Holy Spirit. I want you to start experiencing me and obeying me. Listening first. You ever hear that? It's not that the Holy Spirit isn't speaking. It's that we're not listening, gang. It's not any less than there. It's our attunement that needs to be jockeyed a little bit. So I'm sitting in the waiting room. I'm waiting for him to get Tina set so I can go in there. And I see this young gentleman walking in, and he's got what I assumed was his wife in a wheelchair. And I could see the pain on her face, and she's like at least a decade younger than Tina and I. And she's way down the road further, and I mean down, with the same kind of cancer that Tina's got, man. And that does a number on your head. When you see somebody, you think, man, my wife ain't head near, is she? You know? But I felt like the Holy Spirit was using that. And he took that and he transformed it into a burden to pray for this lady. And it was a crushing burden. God says, do you want to know what a crushing burden of prayer is? I felt it. And you know what? And I almost, and I used the word almost, because I didn't do it, but I almost felt the Spirit lifting me up out of the chair and just like, what's going on, you know? Like, I was just going to lay hands on her. That's how burdened I was. And that's like way out of the box for a German, man. I mean, there was no appointment, no service time or anything, you know? But I chickened out. But who knows, God is a God of second chances. And later on in the day, I had to make some phone calls. Actually, Joe, I was calling your wife, Leanne, to talk about Sunday school. So I went out into the waiting room, and I'm talking to her about Sunday school and so forth. And then when I went out there, I saw the gentleman again that, you know, who I thought was his wife, he brought in on a wheelchair. And I got done with my phone call, and as I hung up the phone, I knew, like, God was just like, listen, you need to go over to that guy and tell him that you're praying for that lady. And I'm like, this is really awkward. Holy Spirit loves awkward stuff, you know? And so, all right, well, how do I even do this, you know? So I figured, let me just go over and do the old, you know, just kind of schmooze a little bit. Hey, how you doing there? Hello? No, it wasn't that bad. So I was like, hey, how you doing there? I just wondered, was that your wife that you brought in here this morning? He said, no, she's just a really good friend of mine. And I said, well, listen, this might seem a little strange, but I got to just tell you, man, I'm a pastor. And I felt such a burden to pray for your wife. I just wanted you to know that. And he goes, wow, I'm so glad you came over to talk to me, because I hope you don't mind. I was kind of eavesdropping on your phone conversation. And I overheard you say something about, you know, working with the kids and just getting kids to know about God and how, you know, challenging that could be. And he said, I just wanted to talk to you. He says, you know, I was a Catholic priest for the last 16 years. And he went on to tell me how he's just hungry. He's just hungry for God, man. And all the forms and triplicate and the bureaucracy. And he just felt like he needed a break. And so he technically retired just a couple months ago in September. And here I am talking to this guy. And it was like, you know, he's got the Catholic seminary thing going on, you know. I'm like, wow, this was a God thing. And he was like, yes, it was very providential, you know. I was like, yeah, man, okay, you know, praise God. I mean, that was, I'm telling you, I had one of the deepest conversations, and I was, man, you know when that happens? It's like, and then the only disappointing part is, how many times have I missed out on what the Spirit has to me because I chickened out? He's speaking, I'm not listening, I'm not obeying. Man, if I would have missed out on that, and I hope you don't mind, I don't know, we call you Father Caleb now, or retired Father Caleb. He's a big, tall gentleman standing right in the doorway. He's here. It's happening, people. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to give God the pulpit now. See, God is setting this up. He's bringing in priests. Who knows what kind of riffraff he's going to drag in when he's got this guy running the place, right? I mean, come on. But he says, I want them to all be one, man. I'm working something right now, something beautiful. When I looked over at Caleb and I said, wow, man, you just want God, man. You're tired of all the mess and all the paperwork and the bureaucracy. I said, you know what? I'm kind of feeling the same way, man. This Sunday, I just want our congregation to seek God. I said, maybe you want to come. I said, you know, if you come, maybe you want to pray with us. He looks at me, he goes, man, I'd be honored. I'd be honored. Are you honored to be in God's presence? That's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the ushers if they come forward. And we're going to receive our offering. And before we do that, I'm going to start us off in prayer. And I'm going to do something that I've done a couple times. And it's a little crowded here today. So if you're able to do it, I want you to do it. If you know, you got babies or whatever, we understand, or arthritis or whatever the case may be. I'm understanding things like arthritis better and better these days. I want us to all, let's get on our knees and implore God's presence. Listen, man, you can fake a sermon. You can polish it up and you can tickle people's intelligence, but you can't fake a prayer meeting. Either God's going to show up at this thing or it's going to fall flat on its face. But I'm believing God has something very special. He's been setting it up all week. We got Pat Pons here from missions that we support, just happens to be here. I believe God has brought particular people here. I've talked to some of you. Joel's going to lead us in worship. He's going to make room for you to pray. I'll monitor the mic. I want you to just line up along the altar, and if you want to pray, let me know. I want this. We need to have freedom, people. You want to just come up and seek God at the altar. Listen, God's not any more closer here, but sometimes your position communicates what your heart's cry is, and you need to get on your knees and say, God, we're desperate, Father. We're desperate. Come on, let's get on our knees before we give of our substance, and then we'll take the offering. Maybe we'll just wait on the offering. Who cares, man? God will provide. There's something more important here this morning. Oh, God. You know what? We'll put the plates in the back. You put the offering in on the way out if the Holy Spirit reminds you. Okay, ushers, we'll do that. Oh, God. God. Lord Jesus. This is so over my head. I can't even begin to describe the overwhelming task that at times I feel. Lord, how in the heck did I end up in this position, God? And I thank you for that, Lord, because it reminds me that it's not about me, and it's not about us, it's not about anyone except you, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that we would abandon all of the things that so easily beset us, as the writer of Hebrews said. It is all the sin that so easily besets us. And focus once again on the author and the finisher of our faith. We put such a dangerous over-dependence on the things that can't deliver anything to us. God, I admit my overdependence on money, my God. I thank you, Lord, that you showed me how misdirected my passions were when my house flooded and how crazy I got, Lord. I needed to. We learned this in our small group. Sometimes, you know, something like that happens. God is telling you, you need to reorder your loves. You've got way too much passion in the wrong areas. You need to redirect it where it belongs. God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, how to surrender the lesser treasures for the greatest treasure that we could ever discover, like that man in the field. And he sold everything. And he said, enjoy. He got rid of everything so that he might have that pearl of great price. Lord, we're desperate for the pearl of great price. We're tired of the forms and giving the illusion that somehow you're here. God, we need the genuine product. We're not looking to work ourselves up. We're just looking to opening ourselves up to the move of your Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, have mercy, have grace now, God. Hear our cry, Father. Hear our cry. Let's worship a song now. Let's lift them up in praise. However you feel led, on your knees, on your feet, on your seat, whatever it is. But hearts open is the main thing. Hearts open. today. All right. I'm going to ask. I've talked to certain people, and even if I didn't talk to you, if you feel you have a word right now, or you have a prayer that's burning, I want you to come up here, and I want you to be open, and I want you to pray it. I want you to pray from your heart.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Your cup never runs dry, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, so much. I just want to say that the Holy Spirit is here right now. The Spirit of the living God is in this church right now. And He is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. He's giving people words right now. I sense it in the Spirit. People have prophecy right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I have Romans 15:13 in my phone. I put it in yesterday. I was going to read it today. But I'm not going to read it now because the Holy Spirit already read it. I also had, I sat with the Lord yesterday for a while in my car, and He said to me something about the children today. And I said, well, Lord, they're all going to be down in the classes and stuff. And I come here, and guess what? They're not down in the classes. They're here. Because God wants to do something with the children this morning, too, I believe. And He told me that one of the things that He wanted to do was to bring all the kids up here with us and to pray for the kids today up here. So if you have kids, I would suggest you bring them up here, because I think that's what the Lord wants to do. And we can pray for them. So why don't you bring your kids up? Infants as well. Bring your children up here. The Lord said He wants to bless them today.
You know what it is to grow up in church. You know the challenges. You know how dry it can be growing up in church, but you also know how fulfilling it can be to grow up in church. You pray for these kids.
When Mr. Plunkett was talking about bringing the kids up, and I thought about a prayer meeting that we'd had here. I was maybe 15 or 16. And we'd started doing the prayer that we do in this conference room in Pastor Greg's old office. We would start doing here before church at 9:30. I just felt it on my heart to pray that one time. I remember being 16 and being like, wow, I'm like the only teenager here, you know. And like, it's weird to see these like girls too, but to see these like 15, 14, 16 year old guys. I didn't have this when I was growing up. I had like just a couple of people, but like I'm actually seeing like kids who are in high school growing up in church, and it's more than just me and the pastor's kids, and it's something that you guys shouldn't take for granted. God, I thank you for the passion that you've put in the heart of youth. I thank you for the zeal that you've put in the heart of the youth, of young people, Father. I pray that they'd be bold enough to go in to their homes even, where their parents aren't believers, and that they would be confident enough in who you are through the power of the Holy Spirit, confident enough to speak life into their home and into their school. I pray that they would grow in you, and that we, the older, I can say that about myself, but the older people, the people who are going to speak in life into them, that we would disciple them, Father. We'd speak wisdom into their lives. Biblical wisdom, spiritual wisdom, Father. And I pray that they wouldn't let people look down on them because they're young. But I pray that you would empower them. And Lord, if people do look down on them, that they wouldn't take that as a bad thing, that they would understand that the world doesn't see them in their real capacity, Father. We know that there's more here on earth than what we see around. We know that there's a spiritual realm. It's funny, I was thinking today on the way to church, I was driving, and there's this artist that I pay attention to. His name is Michael Gunger. And he has this blog, and he had this thing where he was saying, you know, how do I know that I'm just sitting right here on this computer? And it was all kind of like abstract thinking and everything. But I started to think, he said, what if we are on this like matrix thing where we're just here and this is our reality, but this isn't the real reality. And I started thinking about that, and I'm like, that's actually true. This isn't our home. Everything that we see, feel, touch, hear, smell, sense, it's not our home. And there's so much more to life than just this. When Scripture says that life is a vapor, it doesn't say that arbitrarily. It means life is a vapor. Me being a nurse and seeing people in the last moments of their life, when I read the verse that beauty is fleeting, youth, beauty is fleeting. I see people in the last moments of their lives and I see how fast it goes. And I have that privilege being a 23-year-old young father. I have that privilege of being able to see that, but not everybody has that chance to grasp it. This isn't everything. There's more to it than this.
Lord, I give you all I have. I love you.
Think about what you're singing now. Think about what you're singing.
Lord, I come just as I am to worship with my whole heart. And Lord, my life is in your hands. Would you fashion and for me fulfill your purpose and your plan. Surrender to your ways, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. fulfill your purpose and your plans. I surrender to your Lord. Lord, my life is in your hands. My life is in your hands. To fashion and for me, fulfill your purpose and your plans. I surrender.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to say one more thing. I want to be faithful to the Holy Spirit, and I want to say the things that He's told me. And just one thing, for those of us who struggle to find out if we are pleasing the Lord in our walk, for those of us who don't really know what our niche is in the body of Christ, and we struggle with that a little bit, the Holy Spirit is saying the thing that pleases Him is that we trust Him. That we need to trust Him like these kids that are up here. A childlike trust, the way a child looks at his parents with just innocence. And that's what we need to do with our Heavenly Father, is trust Him. So that's, I want to pray, God. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have that trust. That childlike trust, God, that, you know, we have faith. I have faith that you have secured a great salvation for us in heaven, a salvation that's not fading and it's in heaven waiting for us. And I do have faith in that, Lord. But sometimes I don't know if I totally trust you all the way, God. After Sandy, I wasn't sure how I was going to make it. I got on my knees and said, Lord, I guess it's time to start to trust you. And He has been there faithfully through you and through other means, faithfully every single step of the way after Sandy. He is a trustworthy God, and it pleases Him when His children trust Him. So look at these children up here and have that same childlike quality, trusting the Lord. And God, I pray that you would increase that in us, God, that trust in you, Lord, that brings peace. It brings a peace to trust in the Father. Well, thank you, Lord. Bless your name. You are worthy to be worshipped and honored. There is no greater God than you, Lord Jesus. You are, sometimes I don't even know what to say, Lord. You're so overwhelmingly unbelievable, Lord. So thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Glory to you, Jesus.
Thank you. Lord, that you've given me faith to believe that our precious Tina will be healed. Just thank you, Lord, for that. You've given me that faith that I know that I know that I know. Lord, I just thank you also for the vision you gave me of my sister in heaven with Jesus, my mom and dad. And also, Lord, I just want to thank you that the prayers of this church have been answered. For about 4.5 years, the church has been praying. My son would come in, and he chose today to be here. And it's not any coincidence. I don't know how Pastor Greg said it, but it is a divine appointment. And all those kids that we prayed for that were on the altar, Lord, I just ask you to put a burning desire in my heart to continue to pray for those kids. That I would imprint in my mind how they looked as they stood on the altar. I thank you for that, Lord. I know that your presence here today is better than life.
I just wanted to say, for those of you that you don't know, Beth lost her sister this week. You know what I was saying before? How, you know, what are we going to say to make those things all right? Only God. Only God can make things right, you know? It's an amazing fellowship when somebody just lost their sister and they come up here and pray for my wife instead. You know? It shows you what kind of God we have in our midst. I tell you, you know, Michael said the kids need to appreciate what they have. We need to appreciate what God's given us too. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for Beth, Lord. We thank you for her passion, Lord, for your kingdom, God. Lord, we thank you that you've given her that enduring spirit that refuses to quit, Lord God. Lord, in the face of adversity, God, she's still here lifting her hands and proclaiming you as a good God and a faithful God, Lord. We thank you for her, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there's not one person here today or ever that's here by accident, but by divine appointment. There's nobody here. None of you are here arbitrarily. I think God just works by arbitrary choice and random. You're here because God has a place for you in this body. And he's got something more for you than just keeping those pew cushions broken in. God, we pray, Father, that you would give a new confidence, Lord, and a sense of a vision and destiny for everyone here this morning, Father God. And we ask it also, Lord, corporately, Father, because your people, your body, you're not here in the form of a rabbi in Nazareth, but this is your new body, God, and we're honored to be your representative. By your grace, Lord, make us worthy, Father. Make us worthy. Thank you, Lord.
Darker, and we need to be like flames, Lord. We need to be filled. We need to be like you, Jesus, of whom your disciples said, zeal for my house, zeal for his house consumes him. That we have to have zeal for the kingdom. We have to have zeal for the people around us with whom we who cross our paths, our lives, our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow students, Lord. We're the ones, we were born, I just come from Jerusalem, Israel, and we are called to be Elijah's now. Choose whom we will serve. Will we serve the gods of this world that all of us are very tempted by? We have a fallen nature. We get to start with our comforts, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, you know our hearts. We're just open books before you. But there's so much excitement. If anyone asks you, as was one asked me, once asked of me, what's new and exciting? What's new and exciting is what the Lord's going to do in each of our lives. So the word is more. There's a lot more. We have not scratched the surface yet. And the Lord is going to equip us as his body to be the light, to be the salt, because he's coming back. I looked out over the valley of Armageddon, Jezreel, and as hard as it is to believe that this is where all history is going to come to a close, Lord, but we were born for this time and this season. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did, for dragging your cross through the streets of Jerusalem that I walked through with your blood spattering here and there, Lord. Doing it. Why would he do this for men and women who are so sinful? We, even the best of us, have a fallen nature. We all miss the mark, and then you go down to human depravity. Open the newspaper and see what people do to one another. Murder, incest, child abuse, abortion, all of the evil. And yet that's what he dragged that cross through Jerusalem, outside the city, where he was rejected, despised. Lord, Holy Spirit, we need your strength. We need backbone. We just need trust like a child, but strengthen us, Lord, for how you want to use each one of us, because each one of us has a unique and singular ministry, and we may not always see it as such, but there's certain lives that each one of you touch that no one else will touch, and we're called to be his ambassadors. We're just called to be Jesus to this fallen world. Beautiful world, but broken world. We thank you. We praise you, Father. We want to glorify you. We want to fulfill your purpose for our individual lives. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Here's what I'm kind of feeling on my heart. I'm going to ask, Jan has something to share from the Word, and then Pat. And then, Caleb, you said it'd be an honor, man. I'm gonna ask you to come up and just kind of give us an informal closing to this part of the service. And then after that, I'm gonna ask Arlene White and Laura, if you wouldn't mind, and Sharon. And Kevin, if he didn't have to leave yet, I know he's a busy man, but Kevin, if you're able to stay, I'm going to ask these folks, TK, if you're able to stay, I know you probably have campaigners, but these folks, I'm going to ask them to just line up here on the steps, and if you want prayer, we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit